Before the councils of Hippo and Carthage, before the church made a formal attempt at canonizing all these writings, saying yes to these are inspired and infallible, no to these are maybe nice and helpful, edifying, but not scripture. Mm-hmm. Did the church fathers ever quote non-canonical books in an authoritative way? Let's put it a different way, mm-hmm. is what the church fathers wrote, did that become part of the criteria to determine what's inspired and what's not? Because they had a lot to say about the writings that were used in the liturgy, right?
Right. They were yes to all three questions.
Thank you. Okay, let's go to the calls.
By the way, to sketch a little more background, people often cite Hippo and Carthage. Those were two church councils that occurred in like 393 and 397, and they both occurred in North Africa, which mm-hmm. is where Hippo and Carthage are. Hippo, for example, was the see of St. Augustine,
yes.
And it's in modern Algeria.
And there's no relation to the water playing animal you can see in zoos.
That's correct. In fact, the word hippos from Greek means horse.
Oh.
And so he was the bishop of horse, North Africa. It sounds like, you know, Bishop Gus.
Yeah.
Of horse. It's really Old West, you know.
It does.
So anyway, people often point to those two councils as early instances of when you had a body of bishops trying to explain what is and is not scripture. And they were. Those are legitimate instances, but they're not the first. People sometimes talk about them as if they were the first, but they weren't. Actually, more than a decade before those two, there was the Council of Rome, or the Synod of Rome, under Pope Damasus in 382, the year after the Second Ecumenical Council. And one of the things they dealt with at the Synod of Rome, they dealt with, you know, the issue of papal authority, for example, but they also dealt with the canon of Scripture. And they included exactly the same books in Scripture that were later included by Hippo and Carthage and other regional councils. So,
did Pope Damasus oversee Hippo and Carthage after the Synod of Rome?
No. What happened?
You often read that Damasus gets attached to the later councils.
No, not really. The what happened was, like Saint Augustine oversaw the one at Hippo, and then they also had the one at Carthage, and they voted to have Rome ratify the canon of Scripture that they had produced at these two councils. And so they wrote to the then Pope, which was Pope Innocent, who granted consent. So there is a papal connection with those two councils, but it wasn't direct oversight. Damasus had already passed on to his reward by the time Hippo met.
Okay.
Now, you were asking, yes. though, about the criteria that they used. And one of the big criteria is, what have we been using in the liturgy all this time? If someone came up with a book that had not been used in the liturgy, you know, just dropped out of nowhere, like the Gospel of Judas, then it would be immediately declared a fake. And the church fathers wouldn't have had anything to do with it, even if it had good doctrine in it. But most of the time, these doctrines these Gospels that were written in the 2nd and 3rd centuries had bad doctrine in them, and so they were also spotted for that reason, because the doctrine they taught did not agree with the doctrine that had been passed down from bishop to bishop.
Right.
And so there's kind of a twofold test, both based on tradition. Is this in agreement with traditional doctrine, and is there a tradition that this has been used in the church since the 1st century? And if something didn't meet either one of those criteria, it was not included in Scripture. That's okay. Not to say that there wasn't some uncertainty about particular works that were written very early on. There were some disputed works that ended up not being included in Scripture. For example, the Apocalypse of Peter. We're familiar with the Apocalypse of John, mm-hmm. which was a disputed work that eventually was included in the canon. But there is also another very early work called the Apocalypse of Peter that did not make it in. So also Clement's Epistle to the Corinthians was in that category too.
This is an important point from an apologetical point of view, because you have works like the Clement book, the Shepherd of
Hermas,
and the Didache and so on, mm-hmm. rich in doctrine. Then you have a New Testament book like Jude or mm-hmm. 3 John, no mention of Christ at all. And yet, one is inspired and infallible, and one is edifying and historically interesting, and maybe
yeah.
will help you become a better Christian.
Right.
Only the church given authority by Christ, could make that determination.
Well, exactly. Only the church could make the determination infallibly. And if you rely on merely human opinion, you're going to get all kinds of weird stuff. Like, for example, the results of the Jesus seminar, where, you know,
he probably said it. He may not have said it.
Yeah, little color-coded beads.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they treat the Gospel of Thomas as if it's on a par with the canonical four Gospels. And
right.
And it's not. It's later, and it has doctrinal problems. And so it shows where you can go if you depart from the safety of the mm-hmm. church's pronouncements on such matters.